Okay, now we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're going off-piste. Ready?
This morning, stuff. The importance of stuff in our lives.
I would have been out here a little bit sooner, but they gave me the wrong dressing room, and I couldn't find any place to put my stuff. And I don't know how you are, but I need a place to put my stuff. So that's what I've been doing back there, just trying to find a place for my stuff. You know how important that is. That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much goddamn stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it.
George Carlin, a classic routine. Comic relief back in 1986. Stuff, though, that's our theme. Nothing much has changed since 1986, it would seem. If anything, we may have well gone backwards. Got more stuff than we could ever use or need. Clothes we don't wear, toys we don't play with, books we don't read. Our little houses are bloated and bulging with stuff. The challenge might be to learn to live a little bit more with a little bit less. Stop gorging on stuff. This, I think, might be the argument of trend forecaster James Warman. Now, he thinks that a rising number of people are turning their backs on all you can get consumption. He's written a book dedicated to the modern-day scourge of stuff. It's called Stuffocation. He joins me now from London via Skype. James, are we overwhelmed by stuff?
I love that that comedy sketch from George Carlin that you played. And what amazes me is that even though he did that in 1986, it's so relevant now. And weirdly, it's much more relevant now. And the reason is really simple. We've been brought up to be consumers. We've been raised as people that should buy more stuff, spend more. It's become almost a patriotic act, you know. It gives more people jobs.
And it becomes burdensome, though, doesn't it? What do we do with all this stuff? Are we guilty about the stuff we have but have no particular use for?
I think we all are, aren't we? I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I certainly have things. And I'm going through the process, obviously, writing a book like Stuffocation. Mm. I am going through the process on a, not quite daily, but certainly weekly basis, where I'm looking at things thinking, do I really need that stuff? Because when I first started looking at this, and my background as a cultural analyst and trend forecaster, I could see the change that was happening from materialism, i.e. looking for happiness and identity and status in material goods, to what I call experientialism, which is, if you think about materialism, it's instead of looking for happiness and identity and status in material goods, it's finding happiness, identity, status in experiences instead.
If people grow up with that need to consume, if people grow up defining their existence almost as that consumption, how do you give that away? How do you retool yourself? How do you change your brain to let those things go?
The problem that we have with consumerism and capitalism is that we've gorged on so much stuff. It's worked so well that it's taken us from scarcity. If you think about what life was like in 1915 compared to 2015, the change for those of us in the rich West has been from scarcity to abundance because of consumerism, because of this value system of materialism. And we've ended up with this problem of abundance, of overabundance, of stuffocation. But the thing is, if we just kind of switch to some other solution, you know, there are people with kind of anti-consumerist, anti-capitalist solutions. You know, think about the Occupy movement, think about the anti-consumerist movements like Buy Nothing Day. The problem is, if we kind of make that shift, we might throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, we might get rid of all the abundance and all the good stuff that's come with all this this consumerism and materialism. But also, if we have defined ourselves and we think that happiness is going to be in the things that we've bought and the things that we surround ourselves with, I think we're going to be a bit lost. And this is one of the reasons why I'm excited about this solution that I found in terms of what other people are doing. And I've kind of moved from a forecast and thinking this is what is going to happen to being much more of a making it into a manifesto. This is what people should do. And it's a very small shift. The question you asked, I think, was brilliant about what do we do in terms of behavioral change. The shift from being materialistic to being experientialist is actually very small, because I'm not suggesting people just, you know, stop spending money. I'm suggesting what they do is they spend ever less money on stuff, on material goods, and spend ever more money on experiences instead. And the magic of that is its simplicity, because let's face it, Jonathan, we all spend money on doing things anyway, right? Going to see a sports game or a mm-hmm. band, or go out for dinner, or, you know, go skiing or water skiing or surfing or whatever. You have to spend some money to do these things. So we're already doing it to an extent. The key is just to spend less money on stuff and more on experiences.
So the thing I want to do is to spend money, is what you're telling me, and I need to make better choices about where I direct that. I can still be a consumer. I can still do the thing that I'm trained to do, but let's increase the quality of what it is that I'm consuming.
If you were to talk to a friend and they say, hey, let me tell you about my new sofa. Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But, or someone says to you, oh, let me tell you what I did last weekend. Who do you want to listen to? And it's what's really one of the things that's really interesting, is that we're happier when we talk about experiences. And we're also obviously more interested to listen to people talking about experiences. So if you do things rather than have things, you are more likely to enjoy yourself when you talk. You're more likely to have people listen to you. You can have better conversations and more friends.
James Warman thinks we're all getting stuffed. He's the author of Stuffocation, with us now on Sunday Extra. James, is this a sort of a natural turning of the wheel, do you think? I mean, we've had, as you say, this century where we've just accumulated things. Was it going to be inevitable that we would see the thinness of that in time?
Well, I think it certainly is a natural, logical evolution of capitalism. Because you see, if you think about the value system of materialism, the practice of consumerism and capitalism, we didn't realize there was a problem with the environment until, well, the early 60s, really, when a woman called Rachel Carson wrote a book called Silent Spring, which was the first time someone really kind of raised a flag and said, look, there's a problem with what's happening in terms of throwaway culture. So it was only inevitable in that, well, you know, we've been hauling all this stuff out of the ground and turning it into other things and creating a lot of waste. That waste has created all this abundance. And now I think it makes logical, evolutionary sense, the shift from materialistic consumerism to what I call experientialist consumerism. It's quite an easy step. It's really positive in terms of abundance. You know, one of the magical benefits of capitalism is that some people think we're going to get rid of poverty by about 2030. So if we were to just give up being consumerists and give up on capitalism, I think we'd probably give up on the idea of getting rid of poverty in the world by around 2030. So we need to keep on spending. Just the key is for happiness, for the well-being of the planet, for the well-being of society in general, we should shift from stuff to experiences, because that will give us memories and that matters much more.
Is that a bit of a first world solution? Will the stuffocation simply shift from the first world to the second and the third? Will capitalism simply divert the things to other people?
At the moment, it's a first world problem. There's no doubt about it. You know, those of us who are lucky enough to have so much stuff, that we've got too much stuff. And you can see that in those countries like Brazil and Indonesia and China, they are clamoring to catch up. They're getting their first taste of having.
Give us stuff.
You know, a week's worth of shirts and a washing machine to wash them in. You know, we've had this for a couple of generations, lucky us. I think what's going to happen is, just as our industrial revolutions and consumer revolutions happened, and then we've come through to this problem of stuffocation, I think the same thing is going to happen over there. And to an extent, you can already see it starting to happen in places like China, where concerns about the environment are already becoming acute in many ways. And just as our industrial revolution and consumer revolutions took place over quite a long period, our industrial revolution took place over 150, 170 odd years, China's took place in about a third of the time, if that. And their consumer revolution has come much quicker as well. And I think in the same way, they will hit this point of stuffocation, and it will manifest in slightly different ways, of course, but they'll hit this point of stuffocation and make the shift from materialism to experientialism much quicker. And there are some signs of this happening already.
James, fascinating thoughts and a positive note there at the end. Thank you.
Thank you.
James Warman is a trend forecaster. He's the author of the book Stuffocation: How We've Had Enough of Stuff and Why You Need Experience More Than Ever. And he joined us this morning from London via Skype.